When you're doing unaligned work, you almost always feel like you have no work-life balance. In today's episode, I talk about how you just might be thinking about your work-life balance all wrong and share two reasons why your work-life balance is out of whack. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who's ready to work in an aligned career that allows her to thrive in her zone of genius, live on purpose, and get paid a value-aligned salary. I share quick insights and strategies to help you reach your career goals, whether you're trying to find your fulfilling career, grow your current career, or successfully job search. I'm your host, Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who was able to turn my own frustration from being in an unfulfilling career into the framework I now use to help other women find their fulfilling career and job search with confidence. Let's dive in. So today we're going to be talking about why your work-life balance is out of whack. And what I want to do first, I want to talk first about how you might be thinking about work-life balance wrong. And then I have two specific points. Things that I've seen over the years working with women that I know, reasons why I know for a fact your work-life balance is out of whack. Now, other things might come up, and if they do, we'll talk about it. But let's start with how you're thinking about work-life balance and why that might be getting in the way of you finding a fulfilling career, why that might be getting in the way of you doing work you love. So what I've noticed over time is a lot of times when women are thinking of work-life balance, we're thinking 50-50, right? Like the scales are balanced on an even keel. I'm thinking of like those justice scales, right? Where two things are at the same level. And you're looking for a job that will allow you to give 100% to the job and 100% to your life. Life being whatever it may be, romantic relationships, familiar relationships, platonic relationships, your hobbies, travel, whatever it is, just think of life as anything that is not work specifically. And a lot of times when we think of work-life balance, we want to either put, like I said, 100 and 100 or 50-50, but we think it should be the same amount of energy going into work that goes into life. And that couldn't be further from the truth. I've always, for years, when people say, oh, how do you maintain balance? I'm like, y'all, balance is a myth. Balance is a trap that somebody somewhere put out that has taken most women, for the most part. Men, I don't think, worry about balance as much as we women do. And it's a big trap because there's no such thing as balance. There's no time ever where you're going to be able to give 100% to every area of your life, or 50-50, or equal amounts. That just does not exist. And I really want to start this conversation by having you switch how you think of work-life balance in terms of the fact that there is no such thing as equal balance. What there are, or what there is in life, is seasons and priorities. In different seasons of your life, different things take priority. And so it's important that you are aware of that fact, that at different seasons of life, work might be the priority or life might be the priority. It varies. And it's important that you are aware of what season of life you're in at any given moment. That way, when the priority is taking up more of your energy, you don't feel guilty about the parts of your life that the ball is being dropped, so to speak, right? You don't feel guilty. This earring keeps shifting. It's bugging me. You don't feel guilty about the parts of your life that you're not giving as much energy to. So for example, when you start a brand new job, in that season of your life, the priority is the job. Like, that's just fact. You, at least the first 3 months, you need to really hone in and understand who are the key players in this job that you're in. What are your KPIs, key performance indicators? How will you know if you've been successful? What does your manager expect from you? Like, those first 3 months of starting a new job, you need to be honing in and expending a bit more energy to understand the landscape of the job, of the company, of the environment, so that you know how to shift your energy moving forward to navigate that workplace better. Now, if you are someone who has any kind of loved one, I'm thinking, so maybe a mother who has just given birth, life takes priority. A woman who has just gotten married, your relationship might take priority in that season. Or you're starting a new project in your home. Maybe you've been at your job for a while and you've gotten to the point where you can sort of coast a bit, not coast in a bad way at work, but you can show up in excellence and still give about 50 to 60%, right? It no longer requires 100% of your energy to show up in excellence at work. So you're dialing it down at work and you're putting more energy into life stuff. And so if you don't know what season of life you're in, what you find happening is whatever is priority, because something will always be priority, whether you know it or not, whatever is priority will start taking your energy, and then you will start beating yourself up because you're looking at the other areas of your life where you are dropping, air quotes here, dropping the ball, so to speak. And you start to feel guilty. It's like, I'm not giving as much energy to life or to work or whatever it may be. And so that's the first thing I want us to start with, is understand that, especially with your career happens in seasons. So if I think of, again, what I said, when you first start the job, those first 3 months, work is the priority, understand the landscape. And then there's going to be a period of, I would say maybe like 6 to 9 months, where it's really just doing the work. You're, again, you're at that, I think of it as, why has the word left me? Cruise control. I was like, what is the word? You know, when you're driving your car and you put it in cruise control, if I use that analogy, right? So it's, if anybody here doesn't drive, I'm sorry, that's the analogy that's coming to mind. But the way it works is you put your foot on the accelerator to increase speed, right? When you get to the speed that you want to get to, you want to stay at rather, you hit the button, and then you might take your foot off the gas and the car keeps going at that speed. So if I put this to career, that when you put your foot on the accelerator and you're increasing speed, that's the first few months in the job. And then when you push the button and let the car take over cruise control, that's, I would say, maybe 6 to 9 months in the middle. And so what I want you to note here is the car is still going at 70 miles per hour, but I'm not putting as much effort to keep it going. So just because I'm saying, because I really want to make this clear, when I say that we're cruising, we're coasting, it doesn't mean that we stop showing up in excellence. It doesn't mean that we stop giving our best effort to the job. It just means that we have such a good handle on the work now that we can cruise and still be excellent at what we're doing. And so then once we get to that cruise point, 6 to 9 months, and we take our foot off the gas, we're doing the work. Now this gives you room and space in your brain and your mind to do life stuff for a while. And then I think after that 9 months, and now if I think 9 plus 3 is what, 12, that's that 1 year mark. Now it's time to start thinking about what's next in my career. That's the new season. Okay, I've been here for about a year. Where am I trying to go next? Am I staying here? Am I looking for a promotion? Am I asking for a raise? Other things will happen in there. That's not what this conversation is. But I wanted to really just break down. When I say seasons, that's what I mean. It's there are different points in your career that require a different level of energy. And so when you are in those points that require more energy than not, naturally, you're not going to have enough energy to give to life. Okay, so that's the first thing I want to start, is thinking about the fact that we have seasons and priorities in life, in our career, and you have to understand them to understand work-life balance properly. So now, why are you always drained? Because so the reason why I wanted to have this conversation is a lot of the women that I work with, when they come to me, usually it's, my work is draining so much of my energy that I don't have any energy left for life. That's what I hear women say to me often. If that resonates with you, drop some hearts here live on Instagram. Let me know if you feel that way, where work is taking so much of your energy that by the time you get home, you just want to lay on the couch and just like recharge, because you're like, I have no energy for anything. I don't have energy for the kids, for my partner, for life. On the weekends, you're trying to recover from the week. And then by the time the weekend is over, it's like, dang, it's already Monday. I have to do it all over again. It's like, I am drained AF. Let me know if that's resonating. Okay, I see the hearts coming through. So it is resonating. So that's what I hear women say often. And that was the particular reason I wanted to have this conversation, is why exactly are you feeling so drained at work? Why is your work-life balance all out of whack? And so that's what I want to talk about. Let me sip this tea real quick, y'all. And I see the hearts. I love it. Okay. So there are two things that I've seen, two reasons why your work is draining you so much that you don't have energy for your loved ones, energy for your hobbies, energy to feel like yourself anymore. And the first is that you are not clear about your work boundaries. You are not clear about your work boundaries. You don't know what is really important to you at work. And so you end up working in a place, in a company, in an environment that is consistently and constantly violating your boundaries. And when you work in a place that is violating your boundaries, it is 98% guaranteed impossible to be happy doing your job. And it's 100% guaranteed going to mess with your work-life balance. Because what happens is when you work in a place that is out of alignment with your values, which those boundaries, you don't know how to communicate your boundaries. You don't know how to, let me start from the beginning. You don't know how to establish your boundaries. You don't know how to communicate your boundaries, and you don't know how to hold your boundaries. If you don't know what is important to you, if you don't know what matters, how are you going to tell somebody else? Or how will you know when it's been violated so you can shut it down real quick? Or how will you communicate it so people can respect it? So it's important that you are super clear on your values. And when I think of the work I do with women specifically, it's what are your non-negotiable values? Because when you clarify your non-negotiable values, it allows you to understand what you will and will not stand for in the world of work. And when you understand what you will and will not stand for, you know how to communicate that. You know how to spot the red flags when people start violating those boundaries, and you know how to hold firm on those boundaries. Because here's one thing I always tell my clients. It's your job to hold your boundaries. It's not somebody else's job to respect them. Should people respect your boundaries? Yeah, sure. I mean, that's the decent thing to do. But one, if you haven't communicated it, how will they know they need to respect it? And two, people are people. Like, we're all just big kids. And like, we're all just kids in a big body, right? When I say like we're adults, but we're still kids inside. And one thing I always tell people, I'm like, this sounds terrible, y'all, but I have... Three nephews and two nieces. So I love kids. So I'm not, but I always say like kids are like dogs. And I know it sounds terrible, but stick with me here. They will push the boundaries unless you establish them. That's just human nature. It's not, they're not being mean. They're not being evil. They're not trying to make your life miserable. It's just, what can I get away with? And that's what adults do too. What can I get away with? If I can keep telling you to take over all my tasks, if I can keep giving you more work, more work, more work, and you don't ever stop me, then why would I stop? Again, yes, is it the decent thing to do? Yes, but we all know, especially if you're out here in corporate America, people ain't decent out here. We know that, at least not innately for the most part. Like, just let's just call a spade a spade. And so your job is to hold your boundaries, but you have to know those boundaries to hold them, especially in corporate America, especially if you're a Black or brown woman. Because I can't tell you all how many Black women I've worked with who they left their job and then the company hired three people to do the same job. And it's like, hold up. When I was here, I was doing this, getting paid what I was getting paid, and then you hired three people, which means three salaries, to do what I was doing. And when I asked for the raise, you ain't give me the raise. You ain't take some things off my plate, but you were able to hire three people. Are you following me here? Are y'all tracking with me? And so you have to be the one to hold firm on your boundaries, and that comes from knowing what your values are. So let me make this real. So for example, my full-time job is as a faculty, right? At least as of right now recording this, I teach at a university. And the way my contract is set up, it's a 9-month contract, which means we don't work in the summer. And then there's some other months we don't work. Now, the norm in academia is really, even though we're a 9-month contract, we work year round. My first 3 years here, I worked year round. I taught in the summer. I did research in the summer. I was working. I mean, I might've taken a week off here or there, but I was working. But one thing that is important to me, one of my boundaries, is I have a deep desire to not feel like I'm in a rat race in my career. That ongoing churn of go, go, go. I want time freedom. I want time to relax. I want balance in my life. That's a boundary of mine. And so this year, as we're coming to summer, I thought, you know what? I'm not working this summer. Like, I don't have to. I'm on a 9-month contract. Every time I work in the summer, it's a choice that I'm making, but then I end up feeling tired going into the new school year. So it really doesn't make sense for me to keep doing this. So I'm not working this summer. And I did it. Now, did it feel easy? Absolutely not. Y'all, for the past 2 months, at random time, my brain would be like, girl, you need to check your email. What if somebody emailed you and you're missing something important? Like, your brain, and this is kind of like going into the part B of this point, when you set boundaries, your brain will try to push back on you. Like, your brain wants you to not set those boundaries because it feels uncomfortable. Setting your boundaries, holding your boundaries feels very uncomfortable because it almost feels like you're being selfish. It almost feels like you're not being considerate of other people. And again, as women, we love to be considerate. I'm making generalizations here, but I know that it doesn't apply to everybody. So just kind of roll with me. But it's like your brain wants you to give in to other people and help other people and be available to other people. But if you keep being available, people keep draining you and pouring out of you, then you stop. You no longer are able to show up in excellence. And so when you hold boundaries, it doesn't feel good at first. I should say that. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel comfortable. If, again, from experience, it's hella uncomfortable. Especially when it comes to work. Your brain is like, I should still be working. Do I have tasks that I left behind? Oh, do they expect me to be answering this email? Are they going to think that I'm not committed to the team? Are they going to think that I'm not committed to my job? Like, your brain is going to just start like all these things of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I am setting a boundary. Like, that's not how I was raised. That's not how I was taught to be as a person in this society. I'm supposed to always be available. But that's far from the truth. And I want you to know one thing, the work will always be there, right? So when your brain starts telling you all those things, check the email, da 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 da. It's like, one, the work will always be there. And here's what I started telling myself, because I'm like, oh, I should check my email. And it's like, okay, but hold up. Oh, I was like, what if there's an emergency? I'm like, but girl, I ain't 911. I'm an academic. What kind of emergency could we possibly have that requires me to be available 24/7 again when I'm on a 9-month contract? It don't make sense. And so you, when you set boundaries, there's going to need to be an active process of you talking yourself out of shifting your boundaries for other people, because that's what you're going to want to do. When you set your boundaries, you're going to want to move it. I'll just help you here. I'll just help there. I'll just, you know, give in. I won't ask for the raise. I'll just let them infringe on my family time. I'll just send this email real quick. Again, now, mind you, let me go back to the beginning. Seasons. Okay, there are some seasons where you do need to be available. Maybe it's busy season in your industry. So don't take this as a blanket statement. But for the most part, when it comes to work, you need to be able to set boundaries around your time, boundaries around communication, and boundaries around relationships. If you are wanting to experience that work-life balance, you're going to need to, first of all, clarify what matters to you, your non-negotiable values, because those will then determine what kind of boundaries do you need to set in place. So if family time is a non-negotiable value of yours, then one of your boundaries just might be, girl, after 6, I ain't checking no email, I ain't checking no work texts. You will see me tomorrow at 8 a.m. That's just the way, unless we are on a project that I know is a short term, requires all hands on deck. For the most part, like, that would be the exception. My rule is, at this time, is family time. There are a few exceptions, but the rule is this. If one of your values is being compensated well for the work you do, and the boundary might be, after doing research, I'm always going to be getting paid market value for my role. And if I ever ask for a raise and my company is not interested in giving me market value, I'm going somewhere else. That's my boundary. If something you value is recognition for your work, maybe then your boundary is, when I'm in meetings, people are not allowed to take credit for the work that I've done. And so then that means when I'm in a meeting and I hear somebody doing that, I have to speak up. Because if I let them take that credit, I'm going to start expending a lot of energy rolling that over in my head, feeling crappy, being annoyed, being upset. That's draining your energy. And then resenting that person. So I have to speak up in that meeting and hold onto my credit so that I don't expend too much energy being annoyed that somebody violated my boundary. Are y'all tracking with me? If you're here live on IG, drop some hearts. Let me pause it. Drop some hearts. Let me know if you're tracking. Nakia said, speak on it. I love to see y'all's comments. Let me see those hearts come through so I know if y'all are tracking before we move on. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Dropping hearts. Thank you. Okay, great. And so the question I want you to also, as I wrap up this first point, when you think about your work-life balance and it being out of whack, the question I want you to ask yourself is, are you prioritizing life over work? Or are you prioritizing your work over your life? Because again, remember, it's your job to hold your boundaries. It's not somebody else's job to respect them. So if you are prioritizing work over life, you can't be surprised when you feel like your work is taking all your energy. You let it. You allowed your work to take all your energy. And again, remember, the work is never going to end. There's always something to do. So if you keep saying, I'm just gonna, it's like, girl, it's never gonna end. You're never gonna just not gonna. You're always going to be compromising the time and energy you wanna pour into life for work. Okay? Then the second reason why your work-life balance is out of whack is that you are not operating in your zone of genius at work. You are not operating in your zone of genius, and you are not leveraging your high power skills. You're not operating in your zone of genius. You're not leveraging your high power skills. Essentially, you're doing unaligned work. So when you are doing a job that doesn't align with your zone of genius interest areas, that means you're doing a job that you are not innately interested in, which means you often feel bored, disengaged, and unmotivated at work. When the job is not aligned with your high power skills, it means that you are likely operating in either your zone of incompetence or your zone of competence, which means you always feel like you're expending a lot of energy to do the job, right? Like, it's this uphill battle. Because so the thing about high power skills, let me define them for you. Let me define both those terms. So your zone of genius interest areas are those topics, concepts, ideas that you find fascinating that really engage you. And your high power skills are those skills that feel good when you use them. They empower you. They help boost your confidence. You feel strong when you use them. It feels good. We all have a lot of skills, but it doesn't mean that all those skills are our high power skills. And so when you are doing unaligned work, i.e. it's unaligned with either your zone of genius or your high power skills or both, your work is always going to feel like an uphill battle. Your work is always going to feel like you are expending a ton of energy just trying to put the communications together, trying to get the project assigned, trying to create the document, like whatever it is. If it's not a high power skill, it takes a lot of energy for you to do the task. And so that's why you always feel drained, because when you are at work, you are expending so much energy trying to figure out the work, figure out the task, navigate the people. This actually also even ties into that first point, because also if you're in a toxic environment, you expend a lot of energy just trying to survive at work instead of thrive. So that by the time you get home, child, you ain't got energy for not a thing. Because it's like, I just spent 8 hours on edge, on guard, trying to stay safe, trying to survive, but also trying to figure out how to do my job. And that takes, you might not know it in the moment, but that takes a lot of energy. And so when you're doing unaligned work, it's always gonna be like you are pushing this big old boulder up a hill. And so that by the time you get to the top of the hill, the end of the workday, the end of the week, it's like, whew. It's like this big, your arms are exhausted, your body's exhausted, your mind is exhausted, you're just tired. So, and the other thing about unaligned work is that it doesn't pour back into you, because I don't want you to think that when I say, you're expending a lot of energy doing work, that means work always feels good. No, I mean, the mark of a fulfilling career is not that it always comes easy. It's that even in those moments when it doesn't come easy, even in those moments when your fulfilling career feels like work, it's still pouring back into you. You still feel good trying to figure things out and doing the job. When you're doing unaligned work, it never pours back into you. It always feels like you're given, and you're not getting anything, but you're not getting energized by the work. You're not getting empowered by the work. You don't feel good about the work. And so that's why you don't have energy for life after work, because you gave that unaligned job all your energy. And so that's why your work-life balance is out of whack. Because when you are at work, you've poured all your energy into work. You don't have energy left for life things, either on the weekend or in the evenings or during your PTO. So instead of having time to do life things when you leave work, you are trying to recover. Instead of enjoying life, you're recovering from work on your time off. And that's the other reason why your work-life balance is out of whack. You're doing unaligned work. And so ultimately, so those are the two points I wanted to share with you. And ultimately, really the remedy to this is that you need to be doing fulfilling work. You need to be in an aligned job that makes you do like you're doing meaningful work, because a fulfilling career pours back into you. When you are doing work that aligns with your zone of genius, that aligns with your high power skills, that aligns with your non-negotiable values, the work makes you feel good. Even when you have to work at it, you still feel good doing it. And so it's important that you just pause and check in with yourself and ask yourself, is the work I'm doing, is it aligned? Like, if you have been feeling like your work-life balance has been out of whack, ask yourself, am I doing aligned work? Do I feel good when I do this work? Do I feel like I'm making a difference in the world? Am I engaged by this job? Am I motivated to show up in excellence? How do I feel when I'm at work? Because if you keep doing unaligned work, your work-life balance will remain out of whack and you will not have energy for life. Okay? So those were the 2 points. I actually did stick to my 2 points, although it went longer than I planned. But those are the 2 points I wanted to share with y'all for why your work-life balance is out of whack. For those of you who are here live, talk to me. What is resonating with you? Let me know in the chat. What is resonating with you? What questions are coming up for you? What comments do you have? Let's chat. Questions, comments, what's resonating? I want to know what stuck out for you. And then I'm happy to answer questions. Let me see if any questions are here or not. Okay. Can you define zone of genius again? Yes. So your zone of genius interest areas are those topics, ideas, concepts that you have a genuine curiosity for, that really engage you, which means that so when you're doing work in your zone of genius, you get so enthralled by the work, like you occasionally enter what we call a state of flow, where like you're just, the work is just pouring out of you, just doing it. You're like, dang, I forgot to get up and pee. Like, this work feels good. And even in the times when it feels like work, because every job, y'all, one thing I always say is with a fulfilling career, the goal is to enjoy your work 80% of the time. There's always going to be a 20% something that is just like, I have to just deal with it. But the majority of your time is spent enjoying the work that you're doing. And so when you're operating in your zone of genius, the work feels good. More often than not, when you operate in your zone of genius, by definition, then your high power skills get tied in. Because you're doing work that you enjoy, you are motivated to go deeper into the work, to get better at it, to develop your skills. And so then those skills become your high power skills because you get good at them and you enjoy them. And so those two things tend to go hand in hand. But ultimately, your zone of genius interest areas will help you understand what industries and what roles will you find fulfilling, while the high power skills mostly will help you figure out what roles you'll find fulfilling. So hope that helped clarify. Recovery in the evening, tired and living, life in the evening and family life in the evening. Yeah, that recovery. Yeah, and that's the thing about when you are doing unaligned work, when you leave work, it's like you're just recovering instead of enjoying life. You need to recharge your batteries. Think about your phone. You use your phone all day. It's like you need to recharge your batteries just to be ready for the next day, as opposed to really just enjoying and soaking up the moment. What if two of my non-negotiables are in conflict with one another? For example, a fulfilling career not paying at the level that I'm currently at. Your non-negotiables cannot be in conflict. I'm going to start there, but because I'm trying to understand, if you could give me more context, like, do you already know that this is a fulfilling career and it's not paying what you're at? Because if your non-negotiable is high compensation expected and this job is not paying you well, it's not your fulfilling career. It's not. By its very definition, that's why it's called a non-negotiable. And so also, a non-negotiable cannot be a job. Like, your values are not job titles. So as I'm reading that question, your non-negotiable values are things like independence, autonomy, family, diversity, work environment, high compensation expected, moral values, honesty and integrity. So those are values, and those will define what work environment and what company you want to go into. They don't define actual jobs. So by their very definition, your values cannot be in conflict with one another. So if there's a job that you want to do and it's not paying you what you want, then my question is that the only place you can do that job? Because if it is, then it's not your fulfilling career. Once your non-negotiable value is being violated, you will not be happy in that place. That's just a fact. You can't be happy where your values are violated. So what I would say is go back to the drawing board and really clarify your non-negotiables. Make sure you are not conflating values with a job. Like the job is not the same as the value. So when I read this, what I almost always think people say things like, I want to do nonprofit, but they don't pay well, which one, first of all, is a lie. I worked with a woman in nonprofit who was, she was getting paid high six figures. But two, is it that you want to work in nonprofit or is it that you want to serve a particular demographic of people? And if it's that you want to serve a particular demographic of people, can you only serve them in nonprofit or can you serve them in a different company, in a different industry, in a different space? So those are the kind of questions I want you to ask, but your values cannot be in conflict with one another. A company can violate your values. So the goal is to clarify the values and then find a company that will respect those values. Yes, I want to work in nonprofit. Okay, so then find the nonprofits that pay well. Find nonprofits that pay well. If maybe you're in a country or in a space where the nonprofits just don't pay well, because that is a fact, then you need to revisit that desire to get paid a certain salary. Because then now it's time to prioritize. If you're saying, I really want to work in nonprofit, but I really want to get paid this amount, and I absolutely, again, this is rare. I find that I don't like absolutes, but let's just say for some reason, this is the case. I absolutely cannot find a nonprofit that will pay me this amount, which is rare. I would say, go back, do your research and check. Then the question is, okay, which is more important to me? The salary or the nonprofit? Because again, nonprofit is not the only way to serve people. So if the money is more important, find somewhere else that lets you do work that feels meaningful, that pays what you want to get paid. That would be my response to that without obviously talking to you a bit more and understanding more about your context, et cetera, et cetera. I hope that was helpful. Other questions, comments? What's resonating? Let me know in the chat. See the hearts. Thanks for the hearts. I love the hearts. Thanks. Looking for more meaningful work. Yeah. Definitely, you know, pause and just clarify. Clarify those three things: your non-negotiable values, your zone of genius interest areas, and your high power skills. And, you know, if you're here, you're watching, you're like, okay, how do I do that? That's what I help women do. So in my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career, literally the goal is to help you clarify all of those things and then research all your options. So this is why I was saying, have you done your research and is that really the case? Because in my program, the women I work with spend a whole month researching their options while building their network to make sure they're not closing the door on opportunities because they made assumptions about that industry or that company. And so it's important that you are taking time through this process. And that's what I help women do in my program, Find Your Fulfilling Career. So if you just go to findyourfulfillingcareer.com, you'll see more about it. But that's what I help women do.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, there are a couple of things that I would love for you to do. First, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review this podcast because I genuinely love hearing your thoughts. You can also help us reach others by sharing this episode with one person. Thanks again for joining us on the Fulfilling Career Podcast.